Now will you notice verse 2? It says, let us go, we pray thee, into Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. By the way, this reveals that there was a great deal of timber along the Jordan Valley. That land was timbered in that day. They wanted to go down, cut down the timber, and build a school down there. They'd have a good campus in that particular place, by the way. And this is just a personal touch, I think, now that we're coming to here. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I'll go. What a personal touch. Here is a professor that was really popular because he taught the Word of God. Do students ordinarily want to take their teacher with them beyond the boundary of the campus? They say, no, he's either a square, or he's queer, or he's a brain. And any one of these would disqualify him. But Elisha, they wanted to go with them. What a testimony. And Elisha went with them. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. They got busy, you see. They went to work. Now here's a student body that wasn't afraid to work, and neither were the professors. That's unusual, I must confess. Now we have in verse 5, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried, alas, master, for it was barred. Now that seems like a small tragedy, does it not? It's sort of much ado about nothing. It's a tempest in a teapot. And you want to know how ridiculous it is? There stands that little fella, one of the students, looking down in the muddy Jordan for the axe that went off the handle. I suppose he could sing, on Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wistful eye looking for my axe. Well, you know, this reveals something. How different this was from this man Elijah. The very interesting thing is that this fellow here would have been passed by Elijah. I think Elijah would have said to him, forget it. That's too little for us to fool with. But, you know, God is concerned about the small events in our lives. We're told to pray about everything. Everything means little things, too. As someone asked the late G. Campbell Morgan years ago, do you think we ought to pray about the little things in our lives? And he said, madam, can you mention anything in your life that's big to God? Well, it's all little stuff to him. But he's interested in what we call little stuff. You see, you remember when the Lord Jesus was here? The tramp and tumult of the crowd didn't drown out the cry of blind Bartimaeus. And in the crowd there on another occasion, a frail and feeble woman in the crowd touched. And he said, who touched me? He was interested. And the psalmist says in Psalm 34:6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. But actually, this is not so small. In this day of gadgets today, it seems very small to us, because you could have gone down to the hardware store or one of the discount stores, and you could have replaced this very easily. But in that day, they didn't have very many axe heads, by the way. And we're told, you remember back in the days of Saul and Jonathan, it is said in 1 Samuel 13:22, so it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. May I say to you, there was a shortage of weapons there. And you may be sure there are not many axes around. And this fellow, the axe came off here. And he says it's borrowed. Now, most commentators have expelled this young theological student from seminary. He's a dropout. They give him two demerits. They say that this is carelessness. And then they say it was borrowed and he shouldn't have borrowed it. Man, I heard a man gave quite a lecture on the fact he shouldn't have borrowed it. Well, if he were guilty, why didn't Elisha, his teacher, discipline him? And Elisha, I think, absolved him of all the charges that were made against him.